And when God is speaking, we must listen. Just listen. Just listen. How are you guys feeling tonight? Okay, well, there's two or three of y'all that are blessed. It's okay. There's two or three. You're blessed. Blessed. If you would, can you get in your Bibles, please? I want to get started with this, and I want to see where God wants to take us and be obedient to the Spirit of God. Who does not have a Bible, raise your hand. All right. Can we get a Bible, Oscar? Then go ahead and raise your hand. Keep it lifted up. And these Bibles take home with you. Unless it has someone's name in it that they forgot and it's lost and found. Don't take that one. Hallelujah. Yah. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Yahweh. I think we've gotten caught up. We hear too many Christian terminologies and it becomes very familiar to us. And we lose the value of what the worth of the word is. Hallelujah is a sign of expression of love and endearment to the Father. There's worth, there's value to it. And every time I get in the presence of God, I have a tendency to just sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And there's times that in prayer I can't even say anything else and I begin to weep and hallelujah. And then out of my soul, out of my pit, it begins to just come forth. Hallelujah. 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 And then there's times when it just gets to the point where it's like, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. There's something inside, hallelujah, and you can't even begin to put words to your prayer no more. It's just hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what I'm going, hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil don't know what to do in the hallelujahs, for it's holy that comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah, Father, hallelujah. Does some of y'all know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Why? Because sometimes you can't put words to your circumstance. Hallelujah. Then your spirit begins to cry out. Well, Pastor, we should be praying in tongues. Sometimes you don't want to pray in tongues. Sometimes you don't even want to get into the presence of God. And all you got to do is say, hallelujah. But let it come from deep within you. Because you are spirit and the outside of you is flesh. But inside of you, you are connected to God Almighty because He created you in His image. Woo! I just had to help myself. Y'all didn't like it too bad. I had to help myself. Hallelujah! Woo! I know it's been raining outside. I know it's been cloudy outside, but during the, someone's here, thank you. Sometimes, and this, you put your Bibles away, hold on a second. Sometimes you get in a situation where there's an overcast. The sun ain't shining. Oh, and then it gets to the point where you don't want to even do anything but stay in bed. You don't want to get out from underneath your covers because things just ain't going right. And whoever you are that's in here today, I'm here to tell you that the sun is still shining. And time is still moving on your behalf. But maybe in the midst of what you're going through, you need a shout out unto God. With the voice of triumph in your current circumstance. Because your creative power that comes out of your mouth begins to create in the atmosphere and bring about change. Are you hearing me? Well, thank you. I heard that. Some of y'all just a little bit, let's say it this way, mad. Mad. Pastor, we've been down this road before. We've prayed. We've sacrificed. given seed. We even got on prayer lines. And oh, Josh, just come up and strum a little bit. I was wondering. I said, Lord, I studied. I did. And hold on now. Hold on. Yeah, yeah. I even handed out cloths, prayer cloths. Ain't nothing changed. All you did is just cut some things up and give it out. Nothing changed. Nothing changed, but we've done this before. We've been here before. I don't know who this is for, but you in here strong. We've been here before. Matter of fact, it's been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and the cap to go with it. Whoever you are that you're going through something and don't look like it's going to change, and looking outside the window, it looks like the sun ain't shining, nor is it even going to raise up on your side of the bed. It feels like you're staying in darkness, but God is saying, my light is shining for you. No, regardless of what it looks like, and regardless of what you're feeling, don't give up. Don't quit and don't back away. But in standing and doing all you can do, stand anyhow. Ain't nothing more you can do but stand. You don't have to advance forward. You can stand on the word of the Lord. Someone needs to hear this, whoever you are. I feel your heart bleeding out and crying now, saying, Lord, if you don't do something now, this is it. I'm calling quits, and I don't want to do this. Baby, just because it's a new year, it's an old problem, but God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Depression is trying to set in on you. Depression right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over a lethargic spirit in Jesus' mighty name that has brought about confusion and a quitting spirit. I speak unto the spirit man right now. Arise and see the glory of the Lord, and see that His mighty outstretched hand is reaching down into your valley right now and bringing you up out of what you've been in and placing you right into His hand. There was someone that is battling for over 7 years plus. Woo. But you can't let it go because the heart won't let the individual go. And there's already paper signed, sealed, delivered, divorce decree is done. But you haven't let it go. Woo. Whomever you are, they've moved on. Life moves on. Let it go. Loose, hey, and let go. Loose and let go. Because if you don't let go, that soulless drum will never be loosed. And you will battle this battle to the day you go home to be with the Lord, lest you let this go. Let it go. What was done to you are because of circumstances and not your fault. Let it go. Let it go. Father, I thank you right now. This atmosphere is charged with forgiveness. A heart of forgiveness to be released into the atmosphere, that we release every bondage through soul ties right now in the name of Jesus. That we can be loosed, God, into our prophetic future and destiny, oh God. That we're no longer bound by emotions or what could have, what was, what might have. But we know that the here and now is now. You are here. And Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name for victory in that area of our life. Every soul tie is broken right now in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Holy Spirit, thank you. Mama, let me just say it to you this way, whoever you are, Mama. It's not because the way you raised them, what you did or didn't do. It's what needs to take place. That the press is causing them to realize it's time to take ownership of our actions. Someone's guilt has riddled their mind to believe they're inadequate in different areas concerning parenting this individual. That's not you. The child must learn to walk, run, fall, and get up. Let them fall. Let them fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your prompting. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for truth that's being spoken in the atmosphere. It's the creative force that comes forth out of our mouth, begins to create in the atmosphere, and it takes root into the soils of the heart, into the soulless realm, and also the mind of the people that receive. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give God a hand clap right now. Just give him a hand. Come on. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Josh. Someone's mind is going to be renewed tonight. Yeah. Tonight. I don't know who you are, but you are heavy tonight. You are heavy. Get your Bibles, if you would, please, so I can get started on this one. Promise to get you out of here. Promise. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I love to hear. The Bible says that Paul was preaching. He was preaching for many, many, many hours. Someone fell asleep, fell down, and died, but he just went and prayed. Hey, you're disrupting my sermon. Get up. Came back to life and came back preaching. So, that's all night vigils. That's all I know about. Those prayer vigils like that, you can just get going. Ooh. Thank you. I heard it, Jesus. Thank you. Turn to Mark chapter 4 of Luke. The Gospel of Mark chapter 4. Yeah. Mark chapter 4. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Would you please go, yeah, sir. Leave me alone, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go. Let's start at verse 1. Bear with me here. You're going to hear a conversation between me and God. You're privileged to it. Maybe you learn something, too. Whew. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered to him, and he got into a boat in the sea, and he sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, say parables, was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Hey. The sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell by the side of the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Say soil. Ooh. And immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of soil. Hey, let me stop right here. Hold on. I thank you, Jesus. Normally I go through and put things down on paper and, you know, I was wondering why this thing about seed just wouldn't leave me alone. Seed. Seeds. How many of you like sunflower seeds? Raise your hands. Raise your hand. Sunflower seeds. You know, and when you put, you know, all that salt in your mouth, and you start spitting it out, and then you got sunflower seeds all over the place. But all that salt that's around that seed, but it's the little seed inside you're trying to work to get to. And it takes you forever to get to that little seed. And then you got to eat so many of them because there's not much in there. But it's all over you. Hey. And sometimes if you're like me, you get going to town, and then you got seeds like this all over your shirt like this. But yet your mouth is so full of salt. You got to drink some water or something. But all that work and trying to get to the outer shell to get to the inner shell, the seed. All that work for that little seed. Sunflower seeds. You like sunflower seeds? Talk to me, girl. Talk to me. Sunflower seeds. If you put it in the ground, what you going to get? Sunflowers. What I find very interesting, though, I'm not even going to go to the Bible because this is... What I find interesting is he's talking about types of soil. I just go like this. Heart. Your heart. Talking about your heart. What's he talking about? Your heart. No, not the Pledge of Allegiance. Your heart. He's talking about your heart. The soil. What did it say right here? First he said, listen to this. He's trying to get their attention, right? He said, the sower went out. Not the harvester. The sower. Y'all looking at you. Looking, oh, pastor's going to ask for tithe today. He's going to ask sacrificial offerings the first. No, I'm not. He's talking about, are you willing to sow? Are you willing to sow? I don't know about you, but when God begins to put something on my heart, he says, are you going to be obedient to me? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be obedient. Because I know how it is to get your ears pulled. I mean, y'all know how it is to get your ears pulled. Y'all don't know? You know, when they get mad at you, they come, mijo, vente para acá. What do you think? Yeah. Yeah. And they call out your full name, nickname, and everything else with it. Just, well, in other words, if you just listen, you do what you're told. And when you do what you're told, you ain't got to worry about no retribution and getting, you know, rebuked. You get ready for what's to come. But he says to give seed to the sower. But here's what I find very interesting as I'm reading this. There's some seed fell by the road. Are we always too busy, always moving about, that we can't sit still to receive? Are we so busy that we can't listen to God for a minute? Oh, it's cold outside. I ain't going to church tonight because it's cold. It's raining. I don't go. Before, it's cold. Oh, we've had blizzards. You didn't have blizzards here. I can understand up north. They got so much snow. I can understand why they hate snow now. But if we got snow over here, what you talking about? We have snowmen all over the place. Snow angels, too. Crosses. We make all kinds of things with snow. Because we ain't seen that much snow. You get that much snow here, this state shuts down. This city, forget it. But all us kids, we're going to play. Right? But God is saying here in his word, you're so busy that every time I'm trying to get seed to you, it falls on the ground on the side of the road where you're not. Because you're always moving about. Can't sit still. You can't be still for a minute because, oh, you're getting tired of something. You want to move on to this one. You want to move on to that one. I don't like this. I'm going to go over here. And I don't like that because I've been there too long. Go to this side over here. No, be still. Be still. We don't like being still. No, we don't like it, darling. We don't like it. You ever told a kid, be still. Don't move. Be quiet. It's boring. Their mind goes off, right? I said, be still. Yeah, paint over here. Forgot what I was doing. Have you ever seen a kid do that? There's a lot of adults that do that. They get so easily distracted from what God originally told them to do. But he's trying to get them seed. Said, I'm giving you seed to the sower. But every time I give you seed, it falls by the roadside. But you're not there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've been tithing. I did sacrificial. I gave my first fruit. I ain't seen no harvest yet. You left before you could get yours. Because you couldn't sit still. Well, they ain't got no praise team. They're praise team. I don't like the music they play. I just don't give them going ahead. So I just don't like it anyhow because they don't even play the kind of music I like. I always take my seat anyhow. Shoot. Don't they know who I is? I'm a prophet. I probably got my own ministry. And they leave. And then they get mad because they don't get theirs. You know what I'm talking about. Then they get all mad. Oh, because you weren't good ground when I sowed into it. Shut your mouth. You ain't sowing into me. You're sowing into the kingdom. Oh, everybody got it all twisted. Oh, this is good ground. I'm going to sow good ground. You're not sowing this ground. The ground you're sowing in is the word which says, give unto me and it shall be given unto you. Amen. But you have a responsibility. He says, I've given seed to the sower. But some of it falls on the roadside. We can't be still. Can't be. This ministry ain't working out. We gotta go over there, and we're gonna go start another ministry over there. This one didn't work out, so you can go start another one over there? Lucy, you're explaining to do. No, made no sense. What was the other one it said? Huh? What was the other ground? This ain't the message, but we're going to stay here. Rocky ground. I ain't talking about Sylvester Stallone. None of that. No, we're talking about the rocky ground where it's all hard because you know. I went to seminary school. I break down the word. I break it down real for you. I break it in exegetical, and I'll be able to tell you what it means, where it started from. I can give you the root word and everything. I mean, you know people like that? That's the rocky ground. That the seed don't even go and penetrate because there's no soil. It's just rocky ground. Why? Because they think they know it all. They don't want to receive. I said, there's a guy's seed to the sower. One is moving so much, can't even get the harvest, can't even get seed to sow. And the other one, they think they know it all, and they don't, I don't need nothing. I'm good. I got this. I know this. The scripture you were talking about the other day, well, you missed the punctuation here, and that you were off. So let me just correct you right now. No, you ain't going to correct me. How many of y'all know people like that? They quick to judge you quick. And oh, by the way, the way you came into church today, you had an attitude. I had attitude. I had to face you when I walked in. Woo! Let me turn that AC on because I'm getting all hot here, Jeff. Some of y'all just ain't praying for Pastor. What's this? Woo, Jesus. Rocky ground. People don't want to hear nothing. They think they got all the answers. So they can't put seed in their heart no more because I got all the answers. I read Genesis, Revelation 6 times. I'm on the 365-day Bible program, so I read that every day. I'm in my word every day. I know this. I'll quote it to you back and forth. Don't quote it. Live it.
Amen.
Live it. Don't carry it around like you're going to put that word on me. Live it. Live it. Oh, y'all ain't praying for me. Y'all ain't praying for me. Woo! Rocky ground, where it did not have much soil and immediately sprung up because it had no depth of the soil. What's he talking about? The heart. The heart wasn't receptive to receiving. It had no depth of knowledge of Christ. Christ. So the rocky ground does not receive the word of the Lord, but it will always give the word of the Lord. Y'all missed that one. I say it again? Okay, I'll say it again. Yeah, thank you, God. Preach. Yeah, I need a preaching pill here. Preach, Pastor. I will, Pastor. I'm going to preach. Watch this. They don't want to receive a word, but they want to give a word. Have you ran into people like that? They don't want to receive a word from you. Or anybody, they will always want to give it. That's the rocky ground. Get quick revelation. I got revelation. I got to share it with you. This word was for you. I got it for you, and I was going to tell you. I was reading the other day, and the word is for you. That's not what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me when I read and I get revelation, it's for me. I can't change you. I got to change me so I can understand why. Watch this. This is my auntie, and I can talk to my auntie like this. But this is example. Those on the podcast is example. I have to change me so I have a better understanding why I don't like you. Did you get that one? Huh? Did you get that? I can't change you and say, I don't like you because of you. No, I need to change me to understand why I don't like you. Really, it's because I don't like me. See that? Getting all mad. Why are you getting all mad? What's wrong with your neck? You're doing it with your neck. What's wrong with your neck? Huh? And then you look like, I don't know. What's wrong with your neck? It's funny to see people in church because you can. Oh, I come out just blowing. Woo! I come out to be like, we in church. Jeff, just turn around. Jeff, just turn around. Jeff, turn this way, Jeff. Don't blow. You go, woo! And then they go again. How many blows it? It stinks. And what's with all these horns? Ain't got a praise team, but they got someone blowing a horn. You're like, that don't happen here. Y'all don't know what I see. Same thing. So you look at them like, what's wrong with your neck? You don't like what I'm talking about? Have you seen anybody talk? They get real animated, ain't? Sometimes I think you got to put one of those collars, you know, when you get whiplash, because they do. Like those bobbleheads. What I'm trying to tell you is we as Christians get very comical when we think that we got it under control. And we just walk, I got this, I heard this, I was listening to Joseph Prince the other day, he said this, I got this, I understand, and I got revelation now, and this revelation I got to share with you. No, apply it in your life. When we see the fruit in your life, we ask God for that seed. That's it. But now, true. Watch this, I got this. I'll stop. For y'all visitors in here, hey, I'm just. I say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all know what I see. God Almighty. So I had to revert back to closing my eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I feel like that kid. Sit down and be still. I can't. I want to turn around and look at them. I just close my eyes. Rocky ground. Whew, I'm just trying to get there. Lord Jesus, help me. Verse 6 says, and after the sun had risen, it was scorched. Why? Because something grew so fast, it also dies fast. Oh, y'all hear me? Success doesn't mean you've got growth, especially when it grows fast. I used to have a good head of hair right here, but as I grew up fast, it went away fast. I tried Rogaine. I tried that spray you spray right here, and then it covers it up. No, look like Eddie Munster. Things that grow fast die fast. But thing that takes its time and go deeper lasts longer. I don't understand, but the hair, though. Don't let me do that one. Don't. The sun had risen and showed the roots. We got to dye it. Got to cover the roots. It says because it has no root. Has no root, and it withered away. I used to ask God, would you just grow my ministry fast, and so I can get into a big building. I'm going to be a mega church. A mega church. Son, can you be a mega disciple first? That one hurt, God. That one really hurt because I thought I was being a disciple. But everybody else gets theirs, and I don't get nothing. Fair, favor ain't fair. And ain't got no favor, ain't no flavor, and ain't got nothing. But everybody else got ministry, and they're doing good. And then they got TVs, and they got cars, and they got clothes, and they got suits, and I got the same suit and same tie, and it ain't fair, God. He said, but you don't know what they've been through. You don't know the toil and labor that they've been through, that you're only seeing the end result of the now, but you didn't see when it first began. You didn't see when they were faithful with the little and how they learned to be still and not be moved by every wind of doctrine and everything that looked good, felt good, and said, gimme, gimme, gimme. They learned how to stand still knowing that I said, still. And I gave seed to the sower, and they sowed their way to success. I said, okay, God, I'll be still. I'll be still. I got that. That one hurt when he pulled it. Got my attention real quick. I got the. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He says, until you learn how to say yes, Lord, from your heart, then I'll move you to your next step. Don't give me lip service. The yes, Lord, comes from here. The Bible says that God knows your heart. Man knows the outward appearance. Oh. We're only in the first couple of verses on this one, Josh, and that's not my notes. How many of you has God kind of said, hey, will you put that in neutral instead of putting it in drive and overdrive? You put that in neutral and just be still because you're on the flat ground right now. Let me move you. You can put a car in neutral if you're on a hill and you're going to go. Whether if you're going down or going backwards. You're moving, but that don't mean you're moving in the direction that God wants you to go in. It's when he gets you on even ground, say valley, that he says, put it in neutral and I got you. I got you. And I got you at the pace that you'll need to get you to the very end. You hear me? Are you hearing me? You hear me? I said, let me take your scripture. That's not scripture. Okay. He says, raise your sails and I will blow in your direction and I will lead you and guide you to the destiny in your life. But everybody wants to put on the motor and turn it on. Let's go. No, 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 no. I'm learning. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm learning. I'm learning. Yeah. And we learned even till we go home with Jesus, we're still learning. And when people think that I got all this mother wisdom, I got all knowledge, you quit learning. And when you quit learning, the Bible says this, you're no longer a son of God. If the angels sit at the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, revelation knowledge is coming if his infinite wisdom is given. More of his creative power is being shown and given to them. And they're still learning every day. I know that there's something to what God is saying. Maybe you haven't seen your breakthrough. Maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you haven't experienced the blade coming through the soil yet. But that doesn't mean not seeing anything is not taking place. That means that it's working beneath the surface, but it's working on your behalf. He says, I give seed to the sower. I didn't call you to make it to grow. All you're responsible to do is put it in the ground and water it. Whether it be with your tears, whether it be with your prayer and intercession. But just because the word is spoken, you're going to be a young millionaire, by ya? Young millionaire, 30 years go by, you ain't seen not one lick of that, the millionaire status. When he brings to you what he said he's going to give you, he also gives you time back. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Really? If time is created by God, and if he speaks something into existence, it is. Whether we see it or not, it is. Oh, you missed that one. He spoke it. How many of you got prophetic words? You're like, it ain't come to pass. It ain't. That was saved. It's proper line. No. Hold on. Did you hear here or did you hear here? If you heard here and not here, you already aborted it. But if you heard here, oh, it's creative. It's working. Maybe he's working on you to get you to there. Okay. This is just on Mark, Gospel of Mark. That's all. That's all we're doing right now. Okay, verse 8. Verse 7. Sorry. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it and yielded no crop. Okay. Here's the thorn seeds. Whoever's vacuuming tomorrow, be careful. Sorry. Okay. We have the road, stony, and then we have where the thorns are. The thorns always represent your afflictions in life when you begin to sow out of compulsion. Has anybody ever said, if you sow $1,000, you're going to get your breakthrough? Have you heard that? Sow into this ministry because it's good ground and you will receive your double portion blessing. That's not here. That's not here. Out of compulsion, out of need and desperation, that's no longer faith, that's desperation. You sow and then thorns come up. What came up? Thorns. Thorns sucked it out and thorns grew, right? Why? Because you become so bitter and mad because you ain't seen it. Still talking about the condition of the heart. Well, if I sow, I'm going to get my breakthrough. And if I sow enough, they'll see at the end of the year, the recap, how much I sowed. And they may put me in leadership. Manipulation. Sowing with the wrong motive. Hey, this isn't tithes and offering kind of teaching. I'm just talking about the heart. Anything you do for anybody should always be out of love. And not even look for anything in return. Oh, wait a minute now. What you talking about? I mowed your lawn 6 times. I just asked you to mow my lawn 1 time. You can't do that? Actually, I ain't mowing your lawn no more. I did it 6 times for you. I even edged it real good, too. I weed eat everything, too. And I'm just asking you to do my... And you want to do it? I ain't doing yours no more. Wrong motive. Do you understand? When something is done for you, it should be done just love. And don't expect anything in return. Nothing. Nothing in return. I'm going to get this real. Well, Pastor, I made you some banana pudding and I ain't seen no breakthrough yet. I made you some banana pudding. You know, let's just put everybody to rest. Easy. She gave me some banana pudding, made me some banana pudding, and gone in one night. Who is it? There was growth. There was growth. But you ain't seen a return yet. Things are still the same. But in the manner that it's given, there's what the Bible says. In the manner which you sow, it shall be sown back into your life. You shall receive it. What I'm trying to get at here, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking here, is saying that the heart has to be in line with God. The scriptures ask Jesus is going here, he's teaching, he's there, and then here comes the disciples. It had to be Peter. It had to be Peter, because Peter's that type of, Jesus, hey. Out of all the commandments, hey, which one we got to follow? Because there's a lot. Yeah, there's 10 that we know of, the 10 commandments. But the old Levitical law was like 600 laws they had to follow. You can't work at this rate of speed on Sunday because, matter of fact, you're not supposed to be working on Sunday. But just in case you decide you have to work, you can't work this long past this time. Wait a minute. What? So Peter's asking Jesus, hey, out of all, which ones are the greatest? Because maybe I can work on one or two. I don't know about all of those. Haven't we, God, let's make a deal, God. Let's make a deal, God. I'm going to go to church on Wednesday, but Sunday, hey, I went Wednesday. I gave you a tenth. We're good, right? We began to make deals with God that way. Peter's asking Jesus, amongst all his other brothers, you know how Peter gets? He's the one that has all the wisdom and knowledge, right? Because he knows everything. He's the rock. He's the rock. Well, he's a rock because he's, you know, So he asked Jesus, out of all of these, which ones do I got to do? Which one? Which one? He says, love God with all your heart. Dad, I got that. I love God. Yeah. I could do that one. And then Jesus said, wait, I ain't through yet, Peter. Slow down. Be still. Peter like, what? There's more? Yeah. Love your neighbor also, like you love God. Wait a minute. But who's my neighbor? Right? Let's conditional. Okay, let's make a deal, God. I can love God. I can love you. I can love you. But my neighbor? Can you be more specific? Who's my neighbor? Is my neighbor the one that, you know, that looks over the fence and Mr. Wilson is? Ain't your neighbor. The neighbor is the one that is right next to you. It is always, always. I want some banana pudding. Some banana pudding. And you get to the point you're so fed up, like, would you stop asking for banana pudding? That's the neighbor. That's the one. It's easy to love someone that is always nice to you. Oh, it's easy to love someone that's always so nice to you, and they're always, Mita, you're so pretty, Mita, you look so nice with the scarf. Oh, thank you, you know, I like that. It's easy to love people that are always helping you or always stroking you. But the ones that get on your nerve, you know which one. You know the one. Y'all already went there. You saw their face. You're like, that one. You do see everything, don't you? That one is your neighbor. Again. Bye, I want some pudding. Bye, when you get my pudding. But I love you.
Make your own pudding.
Huh? Make your own pudding. No, bye, when you make it. You make it better. You make it the best, and it's nice and creamy. You make the pudding. Bye, when you get my pudding. And you're going to get to the point like, get away from me. Get behind me, Satan, now. That's the neighbor you are to love like you love God, with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength. Where did I go? Heart. I had to get back because I was pudding. I saw pudding. Whew! The heart. If he gets seed to the sower, watch this. In the beginning, in Genesis, that's the beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, God begins to create the heavens and the earth. We all know it, right? God who created the heavens and the earth. He creates the trees. He creates the beast, the fish, and the fowl of the air. But he says something that's very interesting that I always read. And I said, come on, what are you talking about? It produces after its own kind. And then you get to about, I think the fifth, sixth day, but it's probably around, don't quote me on this, but it's in Genesis. He says, let us make man in our image, translated, kind. Do you see a pattern? The pattern is that the tree produces the fruit of its kind that's in the tree. Right? Oh, we all know that. Well, yeah, you put plant, you know, tomato, you get tomato. We know that. And we know that the fish of the sea reproduce after its kind. There's something to do with what God is saying in my creative process. In the manner of which it is, so shall it be. Kind. If you're sowing, giving of yourself, being friendly to others, not select others, but others, We get to the point we just have a little bit of people around us. Those are my friends, your acquaintances. We're good. They're not. No. Then what you're doing is putting yourself into isolation and creating amongst you same kind of people like you. Same kind. You draw people unto yourself who are just like you. Really? Because you won't get around someone that will challenge you because you always feel challenged. Now, if you were, wisdom tells me that if you want to get out of your sphere right now and into another place, go to other people that are not like you. So that then you can become like them. What does that mean? You're going to learn, you're going to accept, you're going to receive, and you become like them. That don't mean you're going to change your whole lifestyle, but what you're going to do is change the influences in your life. What happens is we don't want to change influence, and we don't even want to make change because we don't like change. So what we do, we keep people the way we like them because they talk like us, they dress like us, they walk like us, like the same music like I like, and we dance the same, we eat the same. This is who we're going to be around. Gotta say, no, I want you to understand something, that you're going to produce after its kind. If you want to always be negative Nelly, you're going to have negative Nellies all around you. Or if you're always going to be sassy Susie, you're going to have sassy Susies all around you. You understand what I'm talking about? You already went to a couple of those people in your mind. Stop. Stop. Don't do that. Get around some folks that are going to challenge you. Challenge you. Challenging don't mean that, okay, look, we're going to study and then I'm going to test you. That's not a challenge. That's trying to prove you wrong. Real tests, real challenges are the ones that make you want to strive to do better in an area that you know not of. See, I didn't know anything about foreign currency. Why would I need to? I didn't need to, so I didn't. But all of a sudden, something came into my life. I said, you know what, I'm going to read up on this. I began to learn some things about some things that I didn't know about some things, and I learned about the things. But if I'd never really searched them, I would have never known. But it produces after its kind. If he gives seed to the sower, we're not talking about money. He's talking about the word. He's talking about the word. It produces after its kind. Watch this. Watch this. Go to verse 26 in Mark 4. This is good. This is good. Are you there, verse 26? And he was saying, the kingdom of God is what? Like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night. He didn't toil. He just cast seed on the soil and went to bed. And gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, it immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Do you see that? Now I'm going to get prophetic with you right now. We must put to rest our struggles that are in our mind concerning what we have going on in our life right now. You can't change it. No, you can't. You tried for quite some time. Can't change it. How about just going to sleep and really giving it to God? Then all of a sudden, what has been in the soil begins to produce for you. You understand? Because what happens is when we're struggling in our mind and we can't sleep at night, you know, these bags right here, these, you can't sleep. And you wake up like, I'm tired. But you didn't sleep because you were tossing and turning because you had so much in your mind, so much going on in your heart, that even your spirit was unsettled. Be still. Be still. And when you're still and you're resting, all of a sudden things begin to work on your behalf. You see that? He didn't know how it grew. He didn't know what was going on. But one thing he did know is when it was time to harvest, well, I'm taking it. It's mine now. Do you see what I mean? Some things that you've been toiling with, what you've been going through, the kingdom of God is just like this. Rest. Rest. If on the seventh day God rested, not like he was tired or anything, meaning he just, hey, I'm going to reflect back. This is good. Oh, this is real good. Oh, I like what I see. This is beautiful. This is good. Man, beast, fowl of the air, fish, seed, fruit, plants, grass. Everything was provided for. So he rested. What I'm prophesying to you is your season of rest is here. When you wake, your harvest will be there. When you wake, your harvest will be there. Waking up does not have to be a.m., p.m. It is when you awaken to understand he gives the increase. It is he who causes growth, and it is he that allows you to rest, and he does the work for you. Are you hearing that? Okay. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. But if you watch this. Verse 30, this is what he says now. This is where he's going with this. What is the smallest seed known to mankind? Mustard. Not the chia seed. No, it's the mustard. Why mustard? Well, I'm glad you asked, so I'm going to tell you. I need to learn how to pull on the preacher, man. He said, how shall the picture of the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches. Watch this. This is what it says, that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Okay, wait a minute. We're talking about mustard seeds. And then you're talking about birds. Your faith will cause covering for you. Your faith, as little as it must be, will cause a covering for you. What is that faith in? The faith is in him. And he'll cover you. He'll cause branches. He didn't say fruit. He said branches. He was already depicting that Jesus was the branch, the offspring, the offshoot of David. He was already giving him an inclination, I am the tree of life. And if you think that you're going to go through all this and not see your harvest, I've got you covered. I got you covered so that you can rest. Then he says, why are you so worried about your clothing and your food? I got you. The birds have food and have shelter. But you I created in my image. You're my kind. You're my kind. Don't miss this nugget here. He gave you creative power like he created the heavens and the earth. He gave you the ability to separate your night from your day. He gave you the ability to cause the waters to move away from your land, your promise, so that it can begin to grow. He gave you that power. The Bible says also that out of the abundance of your heart, what happens? Mouth speaks. I'm trying to tell you, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. You understand that, right? Pastor, we know this. This is 101 Christianity. Let's get deep. Hey, deep. Let me put the scalpel to you. The heart has to be always in line with the spirit. Not when you choose. Not to whom you choose it to. But at all times, be loving, compassionate, understanding, meekness, and always sowing love. Always. Love God with all your heart. And love your neighbor. The one that's always on your nerves. The one that's always ridiculing you. The one that's always judging you. The one that's always talking about you. The one that is always calling your names. That one love. What you talking about, Willis? That one? That's the one. Can you love your enemy? Be real. Can you love your enemy? Because, boy, I have a hard time with it, too. Well, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I need you to help me with this one. Now, all of a sudden, your neck starts going, God, because you don't know about this one. This one right here. Last nerve. That one. I'm on your last nerve. Me? But you don't know what he or she did to me. Like God didn't know? Like God didn't know what you were going through. Shoo, please. Please. I love this. I love the gospel because it's true. And because it's truth, it gives me hope. It gives me hope that regardless of what my soil is like, because our heart is conditional, because we're conditional people, he always finds a way to get us to where he wants us to be. Whether we're kicking and screaming, throwing our tantrums, getting mad. God, it's taking too long. God, you don't understand. Why it takes so long? Why didn't you get me over to the other side, God? He's like, would you listen to yourself? You want me to answer, or are you answering it yourself? Because you already... Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us. We want everything to be easy peasy. And we want it like we go to McDonald's and order our food to go. We want it like this. And then we wonder why we got all like big around the, you know, big. And we have all this kind of cholesterol and we, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. We can leave a McDonald's hamburger, just leave it on the side of the road. It'll be there 100 years later. Same size. Same size. It won't even disintegrate. And you think your body's going to be able to break it down? And you wonder why people are in the situations that they're in. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out. Really, I am. I am. I'm going to tell you. He says that I've given plant yielding seed for food for you. He didn't say I gave you the beast for food. Matter of fact, he only took the skin off and put it on man. That's all he did. That's all he did. It wasn't even fit for you to eat. Hey, don't get me wrong. I like my steaks. I like my burgers. Boy, I can go for it now. Well, I'm just saying. Yo. Look. He's talking about I've given you the greens. I've given you fruit. I didn't want to say the other one because y'all going to go left on me. Y'all going to go left when I say the next one, but I ain't going to say it. Read it in Genesis. It's what all these people now in Colorado say, it's from the Lord. My cataracts. Shut your mouth. Some of y'all are getting it. Some of y'all are like, what? We got that one. You got that one? We ain't going to read that one. It says, obviously. I've given you all seed that I've given you seed bearing fruit, seed bearing herbs. So now we got everybody thinking, oh, this is from the Lord. Stop all that. Look, if we just eat right. And I'm only telling you this because I eat bad. I eat bad. I'll tell myself quick, James, I eat bad. And when I eat bad, I eat it bad real good. You know how you do. Who likes hot wings? Raise your hand. Who likes hot wings? Look. And you know, you get that either the blue cheese or the red. It's coming down like, ooh, that's the best. Sometimes I feel like that commercial that, right? It's fighting back at me. But it's so good. Woo, and it's so hot. You're like, but you go for another one? You know, when you eat bad, you just eat bad. And it's so good. You like it because it's so good. But it ain't good for you. I ain't trying to knock all the food because I like food. Y'all know me. But one thing that I realized when I was reading this the other day, because that's part of where I was going in my other message, but he gave us the green to eat, the fruit to eat, and the seeds to eat. Our body can process that. I'm not trying to sell you on health food, none of that. So I'm just trying to tell you. We can't be getting mad at God because our health is thrown, but we don't change the way we eat. I'm just trying to help somebody. Baby, you remember when I went to go see that doctor? I think she was from the devil. I had high blood pressure, cholesterol problems, a fatty liver. I said, how you know I ain't no fatty liver? We're talking about fatty liver. And it's what she told me. I'm telling myself right here, but I know it. Here it comes. She looked at me. You like tortillas? Beans? Rice? And beer. I said, did my wife put you up to this? You've been talking to my wife. She goes, you're going to have to take these pills the rest of your life to control your high blood pressure, your cholesterol, that fatty liver. It can heal itself, but you got to give up a lot of things. Hold up now. I don't like pills. I got Rocky. I got the Rocky grind. I know how I got this. I said, I ain't going to take no pills because I don't like pills in my body. The rest of my life? She goes, look, there's another way you can do it. Exercise. Exercise. What kind? How long? You think I'm kidding? She says, you can walk, but you're going to have to walk about an hour and a half. You ain't giving me a walk. She says, or for 15 minutes a day, do something vigorous with exercise. You'll never have to take these pills again in your life. Wait a minute. I ain't through yet. Oh God, y'all ain't gonna like this one, but. No, I ain't gonna say it. But look. No, I can't because y'all gonna say, oh, Pastor, that was rude. Well, it was, but I wasn't saved yet. Last week. Just kidding. But because I like food. Darling, I like food. So I said, but 15 minutes of exercise, can I eat what I want? She says, you'll exercise just so you can eat. Where do you think I got that from? Just so you can eat, but that's not going to change the way you live and how long you live. I don't like you. So I began to start working out and going to the gym. Run to HEB, run to Walmart, put my arm in that thing. Hey, it's going down. Got to the point my wife would say, how's blood pressure? It's good, babe. It's good. It's real good. What are we eating tonight, babe? Huh? We're going to have Puerto Rican rice. We're going to have beef tips. I worked out so I could eat. Then the Lord called me into ministry. I thought for sure I was going to have this thing lit. Have you looked at the pictures from the past? No. Have you looked at those pictures? Man, we were skinny back in the day. And 3 years later, we're balding, gray, and everything. And I said, Lord, something's going on with this. He says, you're losing it. You're making ministry work. Be still. Get back to when you fell in love with me. Because you won't work no more. I'll work for you. He said, can you get back to loving me? And quit working the ministry? Whew. That was the softest spanking I ever got. And it hurt so good. I was like, God, I don't want to lose you. Because I don't want to change my lifestyle. But if I can just stay in your presence, everything that goes on in my life will work for my good. Even when it's hard. You hear me? Even when it's hard. It will work for you. And you won't understand why you go to him when you put him first. And you fall back in love. Whew. When you fall back in love with the one that always loved you first. It's okay to sleep. And it's okay to rest. Because you're working on your... Yeah. So you just fall in love with me again. I don't change. You changed. You put all the cares of this world and you took it upon yourself. When I've come to take all the cares of the world and put it on me. Fall in love with me. Spend time with me. A quality time. Not the quantity. Not the minutes. The quality. Whatever you have. Everything else is going to work for my good. If you didn't send it to me, you're going to use it. Will you fall in love with him again? I mean, if he asked me, I'm sure he asked a lot of people. And I equate this with my wife and my children. Maybe you can equate this with your family and your children as well. You love them even when they mess up. Boy, it feels so good when you can just grab a hold of it and say, I love you. Don't get too used to him that you begin to push him aside. The God that we serve. Fall into his arms. Fall into his arms. When he died, he opened his arms for you. He made the greatest sacrifice. Fall in love again. Not the knowledge, not how much you read, not how much you know, not how much you pray. Just fall in love. Fall in love. Because when you fall in love, you begin to understand the worth again, the value of who he is. And you don't forget it. That was my little chancla that I got from God. But it helped me. It helped me. And I encourage you. It's a new year. I understand. It's another day. That's what it is. God is, he's not worried because the calendar changed. He's not worried. He yeah, there's a lot of implications, a lot of prophetic statements. But does that really matter to you? No, you want things to change. Can we rest in Him? Rest. The Bible says we labor to enter into His rest. We're working at it, we're working at it. Rest. Just rest. So that when you sleep tonight, all the cares and problems that you had, they're going to be there. It doesn't change overnight. But you begin to see things differently. You begin to put things in perspective order. Where He's first, everything else comes later. Can we get back in order with God? Let's let our heart be right. Amen. I hope you received the seed tonight. The seed. Because the seed is going to bring forth a harvest in your life that you need. It's going to bring you peace, beloved. So much peace. There's confusion around you. A lot of it. What am I going to do? What is my next step? You feel like you have blinders on and you can't quite figure out where to go. And you feel isolated and alone. But He's right there with you. He's going to bring the light into your circumstance. You felt like you've been in a cave and it's been dark and you can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it's about to come to you. Illumination comes like that and removes darkness. And it brings about hope once again. And tonight, your hope is being reinstilled. You're beautiful and wonderfully made in His image. You are like God. You're going to receive that warm embrace once again. With so much love. So much respect is owed to you. Respect. And forgiveness is being done right now in Jesus' mighty name. I prophesy to you that you are blessed, blessed days, blessed. Where God is in every day of your life is right now. It begins to unfold. As the flower comes up out of the ground, it's only a bud, but it begins to mature and grow, and it begins to unfold, and you see the divine beauty of it. You're getting ready to blossom. It's knowing who you are once again. Your identity has been shifted, and you couldn't find out who you were, and you lost yourself. God is saying, I've been with you all along. Fall in love with me again, baby. Fall in love with me again. And I'm going to take every word that caused you so much pain. Because that's not who you are. I uproot it from your soulless realm right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak peace into your life. I speak peace into your atmosphere of your life right now. And into your temple of the Holy Spirit. Peace, love, and the reflection of Christ to be on you. That people can't help but say, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. That when you smile, watch this. When you begin to smile, people are going to take notice. You feel like you've been overlooked. Things are changing for you. They are. I feel it for you. I do. Good person. Good person. How many of you know good people always get taken advantage of? Press down, shaken together, that men shall give unto your bosom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet Jesus. There's a song inside of your spirit. And inside of your spirit, a song is about to be released into the heavenlies. And God is going to receive it like worship. Worship. And I don't know you. I don't know who invited you. I don't know how you got here. I just do. I know that there's music inside of you that is for God. And it's going to come forth out of you.
And out of that, yokes are going to be destroyed in loved ones' lives that are in bondage right now. And I see streets. I see street signs. So someone is in the streets that you're going to bring back to holiness. But out of the song, I see you as you worship in your home, as you're walking around, you begin to worship. And it's like the angel stops and says, I hear that voice. I hear that voice. That don't mean you'll be singing. I don't know. If you sing, amen, sing, baby. But the song that's inside of you is a new song that he's given you that brings about a change for a new season. A new season. You're called to be a leader. That you know you're walking in it right now. But the people that you're going to lead are going to begin, as your heart has cried out, to supersede you. Because you pour in, you pour in, pour in. Today, God is saying he's pouring into you what you've asked for in the quiet times with him. He's going to reveal publicly because you're spending time with him. I see a transitional phase in your life within the next 6 months. It's a transitional phase. You've come out of one, but you're still going in transition. And in this transitional phase, you're going to see God begin to put some things into perspective order for you. But out of your belly, there's some rivers of living water that's about to come forth. And it's going to bring life to people. I see you more along like a... This is just like, you know how you have trainers, how they train people to make life better, to get people in shape. I see you like training people to better their lives. That's a great responsibility. I see a woman about the same height as you that stands behind you and is girding you up in prayer. She stands behind you with a smile that says, I always knew it was in you. And it was prophesied to you as a child over your life that you would do great things for the Lord. I see this woman continually just interceding for you, interceding for you, interceding for you. Saying that moment is about to take place. And God is about to open up the wells that are deep within inside your soul. And out of your belly is going to flow the living waters that come from heaven. And many people are going to run unto it. I've called you to lead a people. To lead a people closer to me, says God. Lead them to Jesus. Lead them to Jesus. The more you pray for people, you'll see sickness drop off of them. You'll see it. There's an anointing on your life, beloved. An anointing. You preach like a mad woman. I've also said this wise, you're like a Jehu. It's all in you. If I'm off, I'm off. Forgive me, I repent. But what I see and I feel, you're a mad woman for Jesus. But the people have been noticed when Jehu was coming. The enemy knows when you're coming. You have a lot of fight in you. But you've been fighting a lot. A lot. The enemy's trying to twist some things in your life to keep you from doing what you're doing because you don't like the church politics. Beloved, let politics be politics. But you be you the way he created you to be. I pray that wherever you go and whatever you do, wherever you worship and wherever you stay under the hand of God, that they raise you up. They raise you up for such a time as this. We all know about the Deborah in the Bible. That she was a judge, but she was the one that brought liberty to the people. That anointing's on your life. That anointing is on your life. God bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. I thank you for a time in your presence. And I thank you, Father, that as we enter into your presence, Lord, we've entered into the throne of grace and mercy. Where mercy is extended unto us so that we can extend it unto others, Father. First, it needs to be extended unto us because we mess up day in and day out. We're a mess, but you're the one that makes a message out of our mess. God, I just thank you right now that we have become a people that live out your word so that the fruit can be displayed, because it's all about the fruit of Jesus Christ. through the Spirit of the living God, we're able to move forward and take authority over the land and take authority once again, Father, as a people of God that have authority and dominion and power over the land. And I thank you that we're a people that are not playing church. We're not trying to be like somebody else. We're trying to just be us, who you called us as individuals to be. Father, I thank you that the word is penetrating into our very soul right now, that our mind, our will, and our emotions are beginning to take root with the word, Father God, and it'll produce its fruit in its season, God. That someone's mind tonight is being transformed and renewed. And I thank you that the spirit of fear is bound right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the spirit of a sound mind and of power. And I thank you that tonight is a night that we can transition to a place that you've called us to be fruitful. Double fruitful. Father, this is that year that we will see our harvest if we just rest in you. Just rest in you. And I thank you. I bless what you're doing in this very hour, God. That all across this nation, Father God, people are uniting together in prayer and in fasting, believing for change, not just for the government, but change in the governmental order of the church. And I thank you that in this very season that we give to you the first, as we give the first, God, you bless the rest. We thank you that the whole is blessed. Father, I thank you that you're calling us back to when we first fell in love with you. We love you and we thank you. We worship the living God, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray and receive. And all of God's children said, amen.